friends, it is Friday, February 17th. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I am coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago, recently designated as the most corrupt city in the nation. No surprise there. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. To see the guest schedule for this program, go to Spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button, choose the year and the month, and you will see a list of the guests along with links to their websites. I have been adding an extra link. Today's link is a list of the people, the 75 U.S. senators, who recently voted for 30,000 drones to spy on U.S. citizens. And the link is very, very informative, and I hope that you will all go there and see what else they have in store for the citizens that they are supposed to be serving. Obviously, they're not doing that. Alrighty, you can see the RBN calendar by going to republicbroadcasting.org and clicking on upcoming interviews and events. For questions or comments during this program, email spingola1@yahoo.com. My regular email is deanna@spingola.com. RBN, as you know, is conducting a pledge drive to raise funds in order to expand their programming to a much wider audience. I hope that you will help in that effort. You may do this by going to republicbroadcasting.org, clicking on the pledge drive button. You may also support RBN by purchasing products from the RBN website. You may be a part of the solution and participate in the expansion of the truth by making a donation or a purchase today. Make part of that purchase some RBN business cards or bumper stickers. You can also support RBN by subscribing to the archives at republicbroadcasting.org. Don't forget also that we do have a Facebook page. As you know, also, we are changing the schedule next week. It will start on Monday, when this program will be on from 11 to 1, and the schedule will start at 7 a.m. with the John Moore Show. Until 8 o'clock, from 8 to 9 is Mike Harris. From 9 to 11 is Maggie Roden, and from 11 to 1 is this program. Alrighty, today's guest. We have a really wonderful guest who's made some fabulous, fabulous films. And, and I forgot, Mike Rivero. Mike Rivero is going to be on after this program from 1 to 3. My guest today is Colin Gunn, C-O-L-I-N-G-U-N-N, and his website is indoctrinationmovie.com. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for having me on your show. It's an honor.
Oh, well, it's my honor. My goodness, I love your movie. It's the best thing I've ever seen regarding school and education, and it's just fabulous the way it's put together and all of the people that you have interviewed on that in that movie, during that movie, it's fabulous. It's really a must-see movie. I think everyone that that has ever had children, anyone that has children now that are attending school, must see that movie. And they can do that by going to indoctrinationmovie.com and ordering it. It's fabulous. Fabulous movie.
Thank you, Deanna. We really appreciate that your kind words. Our goal with this movie is to encourage people to reconsider maybe what they're doing with education. And our particular target is the public schools in America. And that's who we go after in this film. And we don't just do it by telling you our opinion. We really go find some of the experts. And Deanna, I'm sure you recognize some of the names there because they have been the main people speaking out against the public schools for years, but we get the privilege to interview them. So we have people like John Taylor Gatto and Samuel Blumenfeld in our film who have been talking on this subject for a long time.
Exactly. All right, we are going to a three-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors, so stay tuned.
Sometimes you don't eat right and your body doesn't function correctly. On a day-to-day basis, your body needs a lot more than you think. But to do that, it's almost impossible. What can you do? Daniel chapter 1's First Kings formula. tested, tried, and true, and an obvious favorite among the many Daniel Chapter 1's customers. Why? Because First Kings has dozens of vitamins, nutrients, good carbs, protein, everything you need all in a delicious mix. It comes in two delicious flavors, chocolate or vanilla, and they're instantly bioavailable. That means that as soon as you drink it, within a few minutes, those nutrients are working. For lack of a better term, First Kings is pre-digested, so it's instant. Mix in water or juice, and your body is using it immediately. Get First Kings. Call 800-504-5511. That's 800-504-5511. Use promo code 100A for a discount. That's 100A.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Oregacillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Resper 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes. Whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Do you want to know our real political and cultural history instead of the corporate media or the government school version devised to provide heroes and extract obedience? Then you will want to read The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. Learn how Lincoln's War, the majority of which occurred in the South, squandered the lives of at least 622,000 citizens, centralized government power, and introduced Marxism and militarism. Republic Broadcasting's own Deanna Spingola authored The Ruling Elite. On her daily program and in her book, Deanna is not afraid to delve into controversial issues. Order it now at Amazon.com or on Deanna's website, Spingola.com. The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. History is Prologue, our blueprint for today. Discover our history to better understand contemporary events.
All right, we are back, and my guest today is Colin. Is it Colin or Colin?
Colin.
Colin, okay. Colin Gunn. With two N's, and the website is indoctrinationmovie.com. What, and you were talking about all the people that you had interviewed in the movie. And what are some of the really essential things that you would want everybody to know about from this movie? Like,
well,
who established the public school system, and what's going on in that school system?
Well, yeah, we believe that people really don't know what's going on in the public schools. And so there's several forms of deception. The first form of deception is done by the public schools themselves, where they don't actually tell you what's going on. And the second kind of deception is self-deception, where people want to think that the problems in the schools that they hear about aren't happening to their child or aren't happening in their school. But we go and we expose a lot of the myths about the public schools, particularly, you know, the arguments to say that these problems in the schools aren't as bad as they really are. And they really are terrible. And the public schools really have significantly changed America. And part of our approach to the film is we wanted to show that the public schools are bad, not just as a recent thing, but when we look back in history, there has been a legacy of anti-Christian and anti-liberty sentiment within the public schools. In fact, the compulsory education system was largely established, that was established in the 1800s, was directed by people like Robert Owen and Horace Mann. Both of them had perspectives that really would oppose a lot of Christians and a lot of conservatives. And so Robert Owen was an atheist. He established New Harmony in Indiana. and had a perspective that was to really to change American culture with a utopian vision, and that involved the public schools. That was how they were going to achieve it. Horace Mann came along with largely Unitarian worldview and a collectivist worldview shaped around the Prussian model and applied what he had learned from Prussia about militaristic training and controlling populations. And so that was his approach. And then, of course, we saw, you know, Dewey and other Marxists and leftists and humanists and Thorndike and the evolutionary worldview starting to be applied to education. So when people put their children on a bus, it's not a neutral ground. It's not a territory where it's like, well, they'll learn math, but they won't learn anything else. Really, when you put your child on that bus, you're opening them up to a legacy of centuries of ideology that is opposed to the Christian worldview.
Exactly. And I like the way that you use the bus imagery. And people do. Mothers think that, you know, they go out and they stand with their children to make sure that their child is safe from predators that happen to be in the neighborhood. And then they'll go out and meet the bus when the child is expected home. And yet they don't think anything about the predatory practices that are imposed on their children at school. And I was, I had breakfast with a couple of friends this week. And one of them said that her daughter's teacher said that her little 7-year-old boy probably needed to be medicated. And I said, "What? Why?" And she said, "Well, because he was kind of acting out." And I said, "Well, how was he acting out?" And she said, "Well, he didn't always mind." And well, you know, he's a 7-year-old boy. 7-year-old boys don't always do what they're expected to do. And she said, you know, he's perfectly wonderful when he comes to visit my house. And there's nothing wrong with this child. And I said, so what is the mother going to do? What is your daughter going to do? And she said, I really don't know what she's going to do. And so many parents, when they're told that their child needs some sort of medication, they just go along with it because we are so trained to obey authority. We are so obedience trained in this country that we think that teachers and doctors and other people have some sort of supreme knowledge that is beyond our scope. And that's just not true.
Absolutely. I agree. And this is the crisis. We're seeing children leaving the family at this very young age and being primarily influenced by this government institution. Of course, what the government wants for your child isn't what you want for your child. You'd want your child to be different, but you know, to have an identity to reflect your values and culture and character. And of course, that's not what the state wants. The state wants an obedient servant who'll pay his taxes and conform to their image. And of course, this is the idol in our culture, this big statist institution, the government, the things that it does. And there's this big sin of omission in these schools. You know, you might think, well, he's okay, he'll learn math and English and do well. Of course, that's the first thing that they don't do that well. But then it's all the other stuff that they do learn. But there's also the sin of omission where they don't teach these young children the things they should learn. Now, children act out against that. They live in a freer environment where they have these liberties in the home at a young age. Now, you come to maturity and you should start to behave in a different way, but the kind of maturity that you get in public schools, it's really just conformity. It's not that they're bringing child, correcting their behavior as we would do as homeschool families, where we look at their heart and we deal with the problems as they come up. Conformity is the goal of the public school system, and so the order, and really that order is to their benefit because they're manufacturing these children like a factory would manufacture people. So, you know, the bell rings, and this is an Industrial Revolution model. It's not a form of education that we would have had before the Industrial Revolution, significantly, where there was a lot more liberty in terms of learning and reading. You know, people would read all the time. They would read in hour-long segments with a bell ringing, then they move to another class. All that stuff is artificial and it's very harmful. What's the end result? Drugs. The drugs are there to make these young children conform to this ridiculous system.
Right. The other thing that you talked about in the movie, which I had never thought of before, was the high activity, the art, all of the stimulus, the visual stimulus that is in each classroom. And I had never really thought about that before, but they have, instead of having essays displayed that the children have written, they now have pictures and art, and there's all these colors. And to me, that would be very distracting.
Yeah, what we're seeing is we've seen American education decline significantly academically. You know, we spend the most and we get the worst results. And, of course, they're all taught self-esteem. So if you ask, you know, the students themselves, they'll think that they are the best when they're not. They're very low in terms of the quality of education that they're getting. And this is the big swindle. You know, we pay all this money to this system. And at the very least, you would expect that academically they would do okay. And, of course, many of them don't. Some of them even come out as illiterates, and this is that's part of it, where the emphasis is always on other things, artistic expression, which isn't bad in itself, but on its own, standing against academic or the ability to read, obviously there's a problem there, and all these other things that go on in the schools. And what it comes down to is the school isn't there to do what you think it is. A lot of parents think, well, I want them to do well in life and get a good job. Well, the public schools is not there to advance your child academically primarily. It's there for them to become trained to be in service to that institution and ultimately to American culture and American institutions. And so that's where the indoctrination starts. It's in this public school system. So parents need to be very aware that that's what they're subscribing to when they send their kids there.
Exactly. I have a chapter in my book. It's called An Education Fit for Workers and Soldiers. And basically the corporations, the Rockefellers and the Carnegies, put a lot of their money, millions of dollars, into creating the kind of educational system that would benefit them and their corporations. And, of course, they want everybody to grow up to be soldiers so that they will feel compelled to go and fight against foreign countries when their government says, oh, we have this enemy that we need you to go and take care of. And so it's just the parents are not getting what they think they're getting. And you also demonstrated in your movie the introduction of, shall we say, unchristian practices that you would not even believe that they talk about at school. I mean, we just...
This is where the state has its interests, and you've mentioned some of the people that have taken over those interests within the government schools, but there's many interests that go along there, and whatever your political persuasion is, you subject your children to a multitude of ideologies and influences, and none of them what you would share. Right often, there are other, you would not mention some of these things in the home, things that are being read to children in the classroom, people that are being invited in to do special seminars on sexual issues, things that you would never allow in your home happen in public schools, and it happens because you don't know about it. Most of what goes on in the public schools, you don't know about it until, you know, a scandal erupts. And the irony of the scandals is that the parents, you know, show up in front of the school, and the next week the kids are back in the same school. It happens all the time. It happened in Columbine, even the injured children, some of them ended up back at that school a month later. That's the self-deception that goes on in people's minds, where they're saying, oh, it can't be that bad, or it won't happen again, or this is just a small percentage of things. But really, in these public schools, even in the best schools, you've got guns and drugs and sex and violence. You've got an agenda that's there, which could be, you know, a sexual agenda, or it could be an agenda politically. There's all these things, and really Christians should have nothing to do with the public schools because of this.
Right, absolutely. I mean, it used to be that the worst thing you could do in school was to chew gum, and now it's much worse.
Right, so the what's happened with social media, you know, we hear about bullying a lot in schools, and so we've opened up, you open up your child's heart to the very worst person in that school, the peer pressure and all the rest of it. You don't know what's going on in other people's homes, but you let that influence come into your life through submitting
exactly.
Your children to the school.
All righty, we do have to take a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes, so stay tuned.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open-pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Colin Gunn. That's G-U-N-N. And the website is indoctrinationmovie.com. And it is linked on the radio schedule page. Now, my friend, the one that I had breakfast with, said, well, most of us really don't know how to educate a child, and we wouldn't be able to, maybe in the elementary grades, but we certainly couldn't handle the high school grades. And I said, look, there are programs, there are syllabuses available for that, and you don't really have to know something in order to teach it. You just have to know where the how to access those subjects. Is that correct?
What we find is that people have underestimate their abilities and then vastly overestimate the ability of teachers within the public schools to do the job that they're meant to do. And so we really believe that the best motivation is that out of love, you love your kid, and you're going to love your kid more than anyone else is going to love your kid. So that's the start of training. That's the trend. It's not just about, you know, teaching them math and English and science. It's about how they're going to be shaped as a human being. And that's a sort of Christian priority in education, not just academic achievement, but, you know, first and foremost, their growth spiritually. And so that's what you can do. And you can't pay someone to do that. You can't, you know, expect the government schools, of course, to do that. So we say, you know, you're best equipped for that job because God has commissioned you to do that job. You're responsible. Don't abdicate in that responsibility and hand them over to the state. And you will do a good job. You know, if you can read, which most people can read, and a lot of people have been through public schools can't, but a lot of people can read. And they, if you can read, you can teach someone to read. It's as simple as that. And once a child can read, the curriculum is designed, a lot of the curriculums we've seen are designed for them just to learn themselves and work through the books. And you don't have to know all the details. And, you know, the best education is just having children that are readers and finding books for them. Of course, books now are free. You know, there's all the classics are online for free. All those good books are there just for the taking. And so, yeah, there's no impediment now to homeschooling. Lots of people are doing it, so there's no stigma. People see it as a good thing. The academic achievement has been proven. It's cheap, and you can do it. So we see in the homeschool movement some of the poorest people doing the homeschooling. It's never a money thing, and so I could only encourage people to consider it as a very realistic option.
Right. The other thing that she brought up was, well, the kids will miss all the social contacts and they'll be warped and they're just not going to be able to function and interact with other people. Well, you know, you're not taking the child out of society. You need to provide, activities where the children can interact with people of their own age. And certainly with all of the people who are homeschooling, I think that there are probably groups of homeschoolers that get together on a frequent basis in each community and provide those kinds of social activities.
Well, there's many opportunities there. And if you are depending, it's so unusual to me for people to depend on the government for socializing your children. You know, if you believe in limited government, who would put that as one of the categories of what the government's job is to make your children socialize? And, of course, the reverse is true in actuality. Those that go through the public schools are often harmed significantly, aren't socialized properly. They're around people a lot, but they're in an environment that's similar to a prison system rather than the home, which is the best environment where we have, as homeschoolers, have a huge amount of liberty. We have people over often. We go as a family. You know, one of the examples in our film is that we can go and do films together. I take the kids in the big yellow bus and we travel around America. That's a curriculum for them. That's their experience. They'll remember all their lives. They learn from it. They meet all these people. That's what education should be about, rather than putting them in this classroom. So they're benefiting from that real form of socialization.
Well, that's a wonderful example. Yeah, you're absolutely right, because some of the things that happen at school are basically formative. And if your child is picked on at school and they're in every class, there are bullies. And it seems there are more than there were when I was in school. But that can be very harmful for a child.
Right. So the bullying thing, it's being used by the media for its own agenda right now, but certainly it's always been an issue. And, you know, as a large family, we have bullying in our own family when big ones pick on little ones or whatever. And so we're there to see it. You know, we're there directly to control it, because it is a very harmful thing in the lives of children to experience something like that. But we, you know, everyone that's been to public school probably experienced it to some extent, because what happens in the public schools is real. It's kind of a Lord of the Flies situation where there's supervision in terms of control, where the children are told to be here and do this. But generally speaking, the words they say and the things that go on in the playground and all the rest of it there's no law. And they're kind of law because it's not a Christian institution. And so there's no kind of direction to the children. So misbehavior and really harmful and horrible things go on. And it's not just bullying, it's sexual assault, it's real violence and up to murder. There's just some dreadful things going on. And if you're not there, which is something that a homeschooler can say, I am there. If you're not there, you can't know what is going on. And for some families, it's too late. We see suicides because the children are bullied so much at school.
Oh, my goodness. All righty, we are going to a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes. And we will take calls in the second hour at 800-313-9443.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Modern medicine has given doctors miraculous powers. Using 21st century imaging technology, surgeons can peer inside the human body in extraordinary detail. Unfortunately for patients, there's virtually no transparency in the billing process. Too often, patients agree to surgical procedures without understanding the full cost of treatment. But all that is about to change. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is revolutionizing medicine with affordable surgical procedures and completely transparent pricing. Their board-certified surgeons perform over 7,000 surgeries per year at a fraction of the cost charged by traditional providers. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is perfect for individuals without insurance and people with high deductible plans. If you have a health savings account or self-funded plan, you should definitely consider our services. We even welcome patients from Canada and around the world. Check out our website for all-inclusive pricing at surgerycenterok.com. That's surgerycenterok.com. Or give us a call at 405-475-0678.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Colin Gunn. And where are you from? You sound Irish or?
No, I'm Scottish. So Scottish. I came over. I've been in America for over 12 years. So I was in California and now I'm in Waco, Texas. So, but I met my wife in New York.
Well, you don't sound like you're from Texas, that's for certain. But, but I like your accent.
Well, thank you very much. Well, you know, one of the things in the film that worked well is that we found a link between my hometown, near my hometown, Lanarkshire. I'm from Lanarkshire, Scotland, which is sort of Glasgow area. We found a link with Robert Owen, and he started one of his utopian visions for a little village. It's called New Lanark in Lanarkshire, and he came over to America and started to have a large influence over here. He wasn't Scottish, he was Welsh, but there was this connection between my hometown and what happened over here in the 1800s.
Right. And he actually had kind of a link to Rothschild, which is rather interesting. He met him at a meeting and thought that his ideas about education were very informative, very interesting. And anyway, it is a very small world. We think that we have such a great idea when, in fact, you know, somebody else imposed the ideas upon us, and here we are with an educational system that is very damaging, as you have well pointed out in your film. It's It's a wonderful film. I just can't say quite enough good about it. It's fabulous.
Well, part of the goal of the film was to make, you know, a lot of documentaries, you have talking heads, and that's all you have, just, you know, people talking about it. And it's not just an opinion piece. You know, we get the experts, and we get the eyewitnesses. You know, eyewitnesses are really important in this issue, because we've already talked about the schools not being honest about what goes on within the walls of the school. So we need to go to the people who can testify, and we get some great stories. You know, we had a young woman called Sarah Laverdier who talks about her own experiences as a Christian teacher in a public school. It's heartbreaking, because you know she's one of those teachers that most moms and dads would be like, oh, she's great, and she was great, but she was very honest about the conflict as a Christian, being in that environment and seeing the compromise and being compromised herself, but seeing the harm that's done not by other teachers, you know. So as good as your teacher is, there's the other teachers that are influencing your child in the playground. So that kind of test me is so valuable. And then Mike Matarko, who was a school principal. Now, when you're the argument in Christian circles is that we need people in the schools to be salt and light, you know, to have a Christian influence. And if anyone's going to have that salt and light effect, you would think it'd be a school principal. But he gives his examples of not being able to effectively communicate the gospel, only in a limited sense was able to make small changes. And the public schools are radically anti-Christian, and that's a top-down phenomenon. We see it from the Department of Education down to little children being chastised for, you know, giving out Bibles in the classroom, things like that, or praying in the classroom.
Right, which you know, that is kind of an issue with you know, prayer has been certainly politicized, and in my own opinion, regarding the politicizing of prayer, you know, parents send their children to school to learn math, grammar, penmanship, history, biology, science, and reading, not to learn how to pray. And Madison's initial draft of the First Amendment said the civil rights of none shall be abridged on account of religious belief or worship, nor shall any national religion be established, nor shall the full and equal rights of conscience be in any manner or on any pretense infringed. And significantly, I mean, the liberties, the religious liberties were embodied in the Bill of Rights. It was the first freedom mentioned, and it's quite possibly the most important amendment in the Bill of Rights, and it enumerates the five freedoms: religion, speech, press, assembly, and petition, freedoms that facilitate individual participation in the process of self-government. But, you know, one thing that bothers me is that the Bill of Rights pertains to and was designed to protect the individual rights of each and every person. And the specific tenets of the Bill of Rights were not rights granted to the government, which is an artificial body created by the citizens. The right of free exercise pertains to individuals, not to government employees. Therefore, a government entity or any person representing that entity cannot claim or seize free exercise. The free exercise of an individual's religion is not the government's religion, is constitutional. Therefore, when a government employee gets up and says, you know, we're going to have a prayer while functioning as a teacher, is inappropriate. And this issue has been highly misunderstood, because any person should be able to pray wherever, whenever they choose. It is a private observance and the free exercise of conscience. But when a teacher, and how do you know what religion that teacher is or what kind of prayer it will be? You know, when I sent my children to school, I certainly didn't send them there to learn somebody else's religion. So,
right.
But for the school system, for the government school to say you cannot pray in school and you cannot have a Bible and you cannot do that, this or that, is, that's terrible.
Oh, absolutely. And we're seeing a conflict of worldviews there, and the implication by the public schools is that they're neutral religiously. And, of course, I don't believe that. I think religious neutrality is impossible. And so there's always an implied religious practice within any context. If you're going to teach in any manner, you have to assume some kind of source of knowledge of absolute fact or some authority within that teaching realm. And, of course, the problem is we have a humanistic, autonomous religious worldview within the public school system. Of course, that conflicts with Christianity. So you have these two opposing worldviews. It's interesting you mentioned, you know, disagreeing with prayer in the public schools. And there's a writer, J. Gresham Machen, who in the 30s went before Congress. And he was a Christian man. I admired him a lot. Surprisingly for a lot of Americans, this conservative person said, well, he didn't want the schools to teach the Bible or read the Bible in the classroom. His argument is that they have no authority to do that from a church, not from the state background, from the church background. The church should never allow anyone other than the church, those in authority, those that teach the Word of God. We don't just commission, you know, other people to, and the problem for him particularly was that they would teach it erroneously. You know, they would teach error. They would teach the bits they want to teach in the way that they want to teach it. So you've got a lot of feel-good religion. And that's kind of what the state will use religion when it suits them. And, of course, that's not good for Christianity. So for conservatives to think, oh, we can get a prayer in the classroom, let's put all our effort into doing that, is a complete waste of time. We'd rather it be better to serve the real purpose, which is to abandon the public school system and pray for it to go away and do everything we can to make it go away.
I agree wholeheartedly. But then you had this big, you know, like the moral majority who favored a prayer in school. And I think it was just a big movement to go nowhere. And like I say, it politicized prayer, which is something that they shouldn't have been working on at all. They should have been working on getting rid of the Department of Education.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, people are politically motivated when they bring these subjects up, like abortion. You know, abortion is used as this thing to get people elected to do nothing about the problem that they get elected on. Education is the same thing. Everyone has a solution. The conservative solution is inserting a little bit of prayer and a little bit of this and that. And we deal with that in the film. We show a county in West Virginia who had the problem in the 70s, and the whole society was big uproar about the textbooks. And then we visited again and showed, you know, 30 years later, the same problem. Nothing had changed, and that's with all that conservative political action. And the person who was involved in the initial uprising said it's a waste of time. And, you know, we just need to just get your kids out and get them away from the public schools because it can't be fixed. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, unless the Lord builds the house, he labors in vain that builds it. Every conservative political action within the public schools will fail. I don't think God is going to bless any efforts there. So whether it's creationism or prayer or Bible or whatever, I don't see that is a worthwhile thing when we have an opportunity right now to help children just by helping them with the exodus, getting them out of the public school.
Certainly. I mean, you can apply the same thing to abortion. It was passed in 1973 by the Supreme Court. And, you know, many, many, many candidates have run saying, oh, I'm against abortion. And here we are in 2012. Nobody is ever going to rescind that decision, ever, ever. And they can talk about it all they want. They do it just to get elected.
That's true. Education is exactly the same thing. It's used to appeal to people. It's used to solicit votes. There's no solution. There's no real solution that's going to help. Every solution has been tried, and every politician brings in some new idea, and they're farcical now. We hear the next way to fix it. The Department of Education, you know, Arne Duncan is talking about extending the school day, really just making that thing bigger, and as government agencies grow, do they ever get any better? No, they get worse and more harmful. And so we're really, what they want is more power and more money, and then we'll be able to do what we were meant to do when we didn't have the power and money. So that, you know, it's not going to be effective. So Christians, conservatives need to say, look, this is not an effective way for us to participate. The best thing for us is to depart from this wicked and evil system. And yes, campaigning against the Department of Education, I would advocate that, you know, if you had politicians that really sincerely wanted to reduce the scope of government, particularly in the educational sphere, I would support that. But all the other fix-it methods, in the film we talk about, you know, the bus is the analogy for the schools, and we duct tape up the bus to keep it on the road. We're patching it up as we go, and that's sort of what conservatives are doing. And, of course, in our film, I won't spoil the ending, but we give the conclusion that I think is most relevant. What we do to the bus, people can see that in the film. That's what we should be doing, not this patching it up to keep it on the road.
Exactly. And you brought up something else. in your just a few minutes ago, you talked about longer school hours. And when you really look at the length of school, the length of time that children now spend in school versus the length of time that they spent maybe, I don't know, 50 years ago, it's a huge difference. And it's not just the time that they spend in school. It's the out-of-school activities that are directed by the school, the sports programs and the other things that that are extracurricular. And basically, it's to have greater control over your children and to have more influence in their lives and to get them away from the family. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that the schools purposefully design themselves to be to bring allegiance to the school away from the family. And so the sports program and all the events and the, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the school with all these social programs, it's a competing authority and a complete competing social life. So, you know, you meet the average school child, their social life is oriented towards what goes on in their school and all the programs there rather than what's going on in their parents' lives. So the social lives of my children as a homeschooled dad, their social life is the same as mine. You know, if I go to a party, they go to the party. I go to a film, they go to the film. All of those things, that's what life used to be like in America, where the children grew up with parents. They came to maturity quicker because their peers weren't the same dummies that they are. You know, they weren't learning from people that are no different from them. That's how you come to maturity. The best way to become mature is hang around adults, right? So that's what the homeschoolers get that the public schoolers don't get. And so their lives are full of, you know, social media, what's on the television, what's the greatest next film, who's the next pop star, all that sort of stuff is all you get or all you hear when you talk to a lot of the kids in the schools. But the life is different for the homeschooler. Their lives are focused upon the desires and wants and life of the parents, you know, and that's the best thing. And so that's why they have that extra maturity.
Right. And you said a word, you said allegiance, which made me think of the what I call the Pledge of Obedience, which basically is that all the children in government schools, or at least in many of them, are actually compelled to say the pledge of what I call the Pledge of Obedience every day, which is basically a pledge to the government that they will be obedient to the government. And if you look behind the curtain and figure out who wrote that thing, that it was written by a Marxist socialist and that it was designed to basically, compel people to pledge allegiance to the state. And, you know, that's just not right, because actually the citizens created the government and the government owes allegiance to the citizens. It's not the other way around. So I do not say the Pledge of Obedience.
I agree. And, you know, the thing is that we should have an allegiance to our family. That's the most important structure, and our church too, but particularly our families, where we say, you know, these are the people that care for me, these are the people that love me, and I will serve them, and I will be have an allegiance to them, and that's this bond that will build, the restructure America. That's what we want to see, not this allegiance to the state that's causing all this harm, and all it's breeding are these people that are ignorant over the reality of the government, the problem with government, and the intrusion of government, the Fed, or whatever it is, Federal Reserve, the high taxation, all these things that we're seeing in our culture. People don't care because they're not instructed to care within these public schools, because it in itself is a socialist institution. It benefits from all these other things that we should be against. So, yeah, there's a huge issue with allegiance there. And, yeah, pledging allegiance, you know, the sports play into that. If you look at the sports program, the kids are trained to what's in their minds and what are the colors that they serve? Well, the sports team, making heroes out of the people on the sports team, the cheerleaders standing on the side. And I can't stand all that stuff because I see what it leads to. It's that Prussian model of service to the state. And that's what we're seeing when we see all that stuff.
Right. And you also see it, well, you said in sports, but you see it in the music and and the sports. Kind of use militarism, you know, the beating the other team and you know, all the music and stuff. And so when you combine the emotionalism of music with pledges and vows and all this other stuff, pretty soon the state owns you, lock, stock, and barrel. and you're willing to go off and do anything that they ask you to do.
And it's particularly powerful on the young mind. So for us, you know, we might hear a song now and it doesn't mean a whole lot. We're not going to be swayed by it. For young minds and young hearts, those games become everything to them. Those songs and tunes become motivational. And, of course, it's the particular problem is there's nothing wrong with sports in itself. There's nothing wrong with music in itself. But when it's combined with the state and used for propaganda, is what we see throughout history, you know, with bread and circuses in the Roman era, or the big, you know, rallies with the Nazis. Those things are very similar to what we have in our culture now, where the allegiance is taken from the family and given to this institution, which we're all meant to think is great.
All righty. We are going to a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes, so stay tuned.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Colin Gunn, and his website is indoctrinationmovie.com. And one of our listeners said that the way that he was taught math is totally, totally different than what they are teaching now. And it reminded me of the 1895 eighth grade final exam. Are you familiar with that?
No, not specifically, no.
Well, it's an eighth grade final exam, and it's from Salina, Kansas, and from 1895. And it's supposed to be, you know, the real exam. And there's some very interesting questions. And like in grammar, give 9 rules for the use of capital letters. Number 2, name the parts of speech and define those that have no modifications. Number 3, define verse, stanza, and paragraph. Number 4, what are the principal parts of a verb? Give principal parts of do, lie, lay, and run. And it's just a very comprehensive test that covers arithmetic, U.S. history, orthography, geography. And I think, you know, they hardly teach geography anymore in the schools. And they have changed or altered the form of how they teach things. Like we all heard of the new math and the see and say or sounded out rules of grammar. You know, they're just not taught to the way that children were taught years ago.
Right. So the public schools, are paid a lot of money, you know, tax money that comes from us, whether we use them or not. We have to pay for these institutions, and they don't guarantee the very thing that they're meant to guarantee. This happens to a lot of institutions. They say they're going to do one thing, and then they end up completely ignoring it and then become sort of self-serving and an institution that just really just serves itself, serves the unions, serves the teachers, their employees. It doesn't have the interests of the child at heart, and there's been so much effort done to try and rectify that, and it hasn't been effective. We're still seeing the same problem where children are coming out of the public schools with the least aptitudes and abilities in the basics of math, English, and science. And of course, that's the biggest problem there is that the motivation is gone. You know, if the teachers are going to get the paychecks regardless, the system's going to stay regardless because they've got a monopoly, a compulsory taxation that goes to pay for this system. You know, the capitalism works at its best when you have this free distribution of wealth where people can go and purchase a product that they deem will be the best product for the lowest price. And we've broken that system with this public monopoly where we get the most expensive at cost for the least with the least quality, and that's why we need the public schools to go away so that we can get good education back into America.
Right, and I think that a lot of that money doesn't really benefit the students at all. As you say, it actually benefits the textbook publishers and the higher ups. You know, when you look at the salaries of not so much the teachers, but the administrators. I mean, it is amazing what these administrators make up into over $100,000 a year.
Absolutely. School boards, there's a huge amount of cash going around, and it's the whole town benefits. You know, you get engineers and architects who, you know, petition to get bonds put out for the public schools so that they can get better buildings, and of course, they get the paycheck. And so there's a huge amount of benefit for the people that are within the system or close to the system. They benefit from it financially at all, as we all suffer. You know, even in a bad economy, we see these huge bonds being passed of hundreds of millions of dollars. And it's not to the benefit of the child. The child's not going to learn better because they have a nice new, you know, sports stadium that cost $80 million. The children do not benefit from this. And so we don't see it filter down to them. We just see it go into this big, giant government monopoly where a lot of it is wasted. A lot of it is wasted on crazy things like psychologists and little programs and all the rest of it.
All right.
The next